Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Been a busy one. That's Rebecca St. James with Wait For Me, taking us to 20 minutes to 6. Made so many promises to you today, and I'm planning to keep them. I told you earlier on also that we are celebrating with the International Assemblies of God today. But I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, because today I have Reverend Moyo joining me. Good afternoon. Good evening. Oh, it's still afternoon. Good afternoon, Reverend. Welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Yes, no, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. And greetings to you and greetings to the listeners. Special greetings to my General President, Pastor Lebelo, and the executive of the International Assemblies of God and all of our structures in IAG nationally.
I love the sound of this. Like, I was telling Reverend Moyo off air by associations with his church, and I'm like, I'm so excited for this conversation because I feel like we're talking about one of my homes. So, Rev, I'm really looking forward to it. First, tell us, though I might have heard it before, but I just need a reminder myself, when exactly and how was the International Assemblies of God established exactly?
Yes, no, thank you very much. Yes, we have quite an exciting history of origin as International Assemblies of God. But to cut it short, I would say that we trace our roots back to 1906 with a revival that took place in America through the efforts of William Seymour. And God just dropped, you know, the Holy Spirit in an amazing way, and that work continued globally to touch all countries around the world. And out of that revival came out missionaries that came to South Africa at the time. And around 1908, Assemblies of God was established in South Africa through the efforts of a missionary called Charles Chona from Canada and Henry Tenney from USA. And around 1914, Assemblies of God was then officially established in the U.S. And in South Africa, 1917 was the AOG, the Assemblies of God family, registered at Home Affairs Pretoria. Yes, and we continued to grow and saw the influx of missionaries during that time. And eventually, around 1964, International Assemblies of God was born out of that fellowship of the Assemblies of God, and we have continued since then as a dynamic body of Christ serving various communities in South Africa.
I love this background you're giving us, Rev, because sometimes, you know, there's that confusion between IAG and the other one, which I'm not going to mention. So sometimes people are like, are you the same? What's different? But I'm hearing different names here. Maybe also just share with us, Rev, what exactly is the vision of the International Assemblies of God?
Sure. All right. Just to touch a little bit on the various names, as I've originally said that, you know, we come out of the Assemblies of God. Mm-hmm. And in 1964, IAG, that is International Assemblies of God, was born out of that body.
Oh, okay.
And we have continued to work, you know, separately with other groupings as well that fall under that same fellowship. But in 2002, a memorandum of understanding was signed amongst all the Assemblies of God in South Africa. We have a body called the Fellowship of Assemblies of God, mm-hmm. Which incorporates all of these bodies. We work separately, but there is an agreement of cooperation on national issues and any other pressing matter that needs us as a body.
When you say
the vision of International Assemblies of God.
Sorry to disturb you, Rev. When you say the other bodies, you mean IAG and the other AOG, or just the IAGs themselves?
Yes, specifically IAG and AOG.
Oh, wow.
And we also have AGF, which is the Assemblies of God Fellowship.
Okay.
Which is, yes. And so, just in a nutshell, all of these groupings come from the Assemblies of God. It's somewhere around in the early 50s, you know, 40s actually, Reverend Bengu, was mightily used by God, particularly in the area of Port Elizabeth, where you've been. And out of that grew, you know, the body as we know it today, as international, Assemblies of God.
Oh, wow.
So 1964, IAG, because, you know, everybody grows.
Yes.
Sometimes it becomes necessary to break it up.
Exactly.
And so I think it was a necessary split, you know, for the growth of the church and for it to be better managed. But we have an agreement of cooperation amongst the various bodies, you know, captured by the memorandum of understanding of these bodies.
Thank you for that clarity, because I really thought there was a huge difference. So it really enlightened me. So what is the vision then of the IAG?
Yes, the vision of IAG reads as follows, that we aspire to be a leading Pentecostal church anchored in missions. That is our vision statement. If I were to elaborate a little bit on it, it's got three components in it. Firstly, the word leading, which means that we want to excel in the area of leadership principles to make sure that we are, number one, a principled organization based on the scriptures. And secondly, Pentecostal suggests that we want to be a spirit-driven, spirit-empowered, and spirit-controlled church, as it was with the early church that we read about in the book of Acts. And then thirdly, anchored in missions, is that we want to be a missional church, a church that plants churches, which in turn will influence their communities and result in church growth, you know, wherever we exist.
All right, interesting. So tell me, Rev Moyo, maybe just share with us a little about the different ministries within the IAG, like your women, your men, and the youth.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Yes, yeah, that is one of our strong pillars in IAG, that we have these various ministries, you know, for women's ministry, men's, youth, and children. And the need for these ministries is that, you know, each group has specific needs that are different from the other. So, for example, men, they have needs that are different, although those needs are spiritual, but they'll be different from the needs of women, you know, and so is the youth and children. So these are specific interest groups with a ministry policy or system geared at meeting the needs, you know, of each interest group. For example, as you know, in our country, you know, the issue of men, it's a big area of ministry where men feel left out, and so forth. And you have heard of statements such as men are trash because of, you know, the things that are happening around. So though that explains the need to have such ministries where we focus on men, build their self-esteem, and make them effective workers of Christ in the communities in which they are given. So the same principle applies across. So we have these various ministries, you know, just to ensure that every need that exists is met at the level at which it is occurring.
I love the sound of that. Now, tell us, can you actually share some of the victories that the church has, you know, accomplished over the last 60 years? I'm so shocked. 60, as in like 6-0.
Oh, 60 years is a long time, isn't it? I think in terms of achievement, basically, we want to give God the glory. That over the 60 years, it's not been smooth sailing. The enemy had tried every trick in the book, you know, to frustrate the church in pursuing its vision. But God has remained really faithful in carrying the church. A couple of the achievements that IAG has, or areas where IAG has made a contribution in the nation, South Africa. First of all, God has blessed us with a high-class theological education institutions. We have three institutions, one in Western Cape, one in Durban, and one in Rustenburg. And all of these institutions have actually delivered a high-class Pentecostal theological education. And our services were not limited to IAG, but we have served all Pentecostal movement in South Africa. There was a time when we had a huge bulk of ministers from Apostolic Faith Mission, you know, studying through our institution. Back then. Yeah, so, and we continue to contribute greatly around that area. And then secondly, I think one of our milestone achievements has been actually that the church has grown. There was a time when we could meet in one venue as to celebrate, for example, Easter conference. We are no longer able to do that now. We then went down to provincial to meet at provincial level. But even at provincial level, it's no longer possible to find venues that can accommodate us. Sure. Yeah, we have seen that growth in number of pastors, number of districts, as well as a consistent delivery, you know, against the forces of darkness. We've also participated in disaster relief funds. You'll recall that just prior to COVID-19, you know, there was a disaster in KZN as well as Mozambique, and through our missions department, we were able as well to lend a hand to relieve suffering in those areas, a ministry which we aspire, you know, to pursue from time to time, as we can see that needs are arising. So we have moved away from being a backyard church to mainstream, areas of our country where we are ministering, you know, even in on bigger stages or needs that are national in scope.
Wow. I can imagine, Rev Moyo, with so many years in the pocket, a lot has probably changed, you know, over the years. So what has changed over these years?
Yes. I think what has really changed is that our church has remained open, for example, to women ministry, ordination of women. I think in the beginning when we started, this was something, ministry was seen as, you know, a male kind of driven a ministry. But we have since opened up our doors. We do ordain women in our ministry, and they're doing a phenomenal work. In terms of education, we have modified our method of delivery. In the past, we were only restricted to residential, services to students, to those who were aspiring to study the Word of God. But now we have a distant learning program. We have what we call DSOM, which is District Schools of Ministry. In other words, in each province, each provincial leadership can run a school, and people don't have to travel long distances to and leave their families behind. That is not always possible. And our Bible school also used to cater only for residential, but we are now catering also for non-residential students. But the greatest achievement as well is that we have over the years become fully indigenous. By that I mean that we are now a self-governing, self-propagating, and self-supporting church. We are no longer 100% reliant on missionary funding. We have a sound strategic partnership with the missionaries, working as equals. So that is truly a great achievement that I think we have achieved over the years, that we are able to administer ourselves, and we are self-funding and self-propagating, pursuing growth, you know, of our churches with legal assistance, from 100% dependency on missionaries.
Rev, I must say, getting to this question now, I'm going to cry if I miss out on this one. So tell us about the upcoming 60th birthday celebration that's coming up on the 26th and 27th. What is happening?
Well, I suggest you get some bucket to capture your tears. Oh, man, we cannot just wait for the 26th and the 27th of July, and the countdown is moving real fast. Yes, this is a time when we want to officially give glory to God as an organization for having kept us over these years. 60 years, it's a long time indeed. And God has remained faithful, and we are seeing that our church is actually growing. And so on the 26th, we will have a gala dinner. Mm-hmm. Where we have a speaker from Ghana, who is the president of the Assemblies of God in Ghana, who will be speaking at our gala dinner, mainly to motivate and to celebrate with us, you know, the goodness of the Lord over the years. It's going to be lit. It's going to be a time of excitement and jubilation. And I believe that out of that, we will come out, all of us, encouraged to know that God is faithful. That's the banner we want to lift up. And the theme song for this event, for the 2 days, is the song that is entitled "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Yeah.
And so we want anyone who shall have attended will come out empowered out of that celebration, and that you though, you know, the slogan will be, if God kept IAG for 60 years, he will also keep me as an individual, as a local church, and as a member in the community. And that is what we hope to achieve. We have a lineup of various renowned artists that will be ministering, and also local worship teams from our churches, which are highly, highly professional, which will be ministering. So the message that we want to drive is that there is hope for South Africa.
Amen.
There is hope for every individual in the country. If God has done it for IAG over the last 60 years, he can do it for any other organization. He can do it for any other family. He can do it for any other individual, no matter how insurmountable the problems may appear to be. But that cannot abolish or undermine God's power and faithfulness to anyone who will trust him.
Amen. Now, before I let you go, as I rush to my news at the top of the hour, Rev, I think I would not be doing justice if I do not get, you know, contact details for us to get more information and to be sure to be part of this prestigious event. You know, it's a great milestone, I must say. So how do we get in contact perhaps with the church, the organizers, so that we are part of this? Where do we get more information?
No, thank you very much for that question. Yes, I will give you three contact methods that we have. The first one is our Facebook page, and the name is simply International Assemblies of God. It has all the details, and the updates are being posted on an ongoing basis. And secondly, it is our website. It's www.iagnational.co.za. That's our website. Also there's various activities that are being uploaded from time to time to keep, you know, our followers abreast. Lastly, our office number, it's 011-760-2093. And those are the three platforms that would anyone who wishes to contact us can be able to reach us at any time.
Rev, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for being a faithful steward and serving the IAG. As it reaches the 60 years, I do believe it has been also everybody's contribution involved within the leadership and, you know, the members that graciously, you know, attend and give towards this ministry. So may God give you guys strength and 60 more years and more and more and more.
Oh, Thank you so much. Thank you for having us, and we are looking forward. I hope I will see you there as well.
I actually hope I'm going to see myself there as well. I'm very excited already.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you very much. Yes, no, thank you.
Okay.
Yes, no, we appreciate the time. I guess that our president, our national leadership, mm-hmm. is appreciative of Radio Pulpit for having given us this slot just to advertise our and to talk about our event that is upcoming. Thank you so much. May the Lord richly bless you.
Thanks, Rev Moyo. God bless.
Become active. Active in faith. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.